We were here in this area. Oops. Go back. Yeah. We were here in this area, Baden, about 45 minutes south of Vienna, where all the refugees that come into Austria are processed by the government, and Christians have a center there right nearby, and they can come into us. Now, let's see. Let's try this clicker now, see how this works. So here we are. It's called the Oasis. Started in 1982, I believe, and 250,000 refugees have come through this center since 1988. It's just a great place to be to reach out to people. And our church supports two missionaries that work there, Carol Holm, who's been there, I think, the longest now, and Ali and Marzi Amanpour. Ali and Marzi came from Afghanistan, and they came about 4.5 years ago, and so one, I won't tell you the story of how they came to Christ, but they became Christians, and they've been used to bring many Muslims to Christ since. And now they are full-time missionaries working at the Oasis, and yes. Yeah. Yeah, Ollie's a translator, and he speaks Farsi and Pashto as well as English, and he's now learned German to where he's got quite good German. Anyway, I also spent the summer in Slovenia, and we have missionaries there in Kočevje, way in the south, and what I spent that week doing was working at an English camp. And so one of the best outreaches in that part of the world to youth is to have an English camp that's Christian, and you teach English all week, but you also teach the Bible. And we had about 54 students. 80% of them were not Christians, and they heard the gospel, and they all got a New Testament before they left in their own language. This team came from Spokane to work over there. They were all people who met at Moody Northwest Bible School, and except for the guy up on the right. and Andrea Fountain. She's one of our missionaries we support, and she works full-time over there, along with the Wertebaugh's, Sean and Christina Wertebaugh. They've been in Slovenia 5 years now, speak Slovene, and actually Christina was in our youth group a few years ago at this church, and God has led them to this work in Slovenia. And they're having a wonderful impact over there. I want to tell you that God is working in Europe, okay? I don't think that CNN ever reports it. There's stuff in the world going on, people, and we can rejoice because God is always working, and we've been privileged to see a lot of it, and I'm very excited to share a little bit about that with you. He's bringing refugees to Christ, and you know, maybe this bad thing, these wars that have brought millions of refugees out of their countries, it's also being used for good. Because many of these people would never hear in their home country. Muslims are coming to Jesus. And these refugees here are hearing the gospel, some of them for the first time at the Oasis. We have a Bible lesson every week on Wednesday night, and believe it or not, we have a lot of people show up, many of them Muslims. Just put a sign on the door and they come. So our main job is to love them. And we just focus on making everybody feel welcome. We give out a gospel when it's appropriate. We have just little gospels. I have in Arabic here, one in Farsi. I have here the New Testament in Arabic. We give out gospel or a New Testament most of the time because we want to introduce them to Jesus, and that's what they're going to read about in a gospel, and that's what they're going to read about when they start the New Testament. They if they see Jesus, we don't have to do much else. And you should see the smile we often get when somebody sees that we have a book in their language. How you have this here in Austria? But we have about 50 languages there. We saw several refugees come to Christ this summer. The numbers are down from last year, and this is true throughout Europe. The borders are tightening up. We still saw hundreds of refugees this summer, although a part of the people we see have been in Austria for a while, and they live nearby, and they come in. And so we have an ongoing impact sometimes for several years with some of the people that that are located near us. But we could give everybody more individual attention because we weren't quite so overwhelmed, you know, with numbers like we have been in the last couple of years. We would have a lot of times 100 or more people on our clothing day, which is Mondays, come in for clothes. One Monday, a family came in for clothes. The mom was waiting inside with the kids because it was kids' clothing day. The dad was out on the sidewalk. And so I introduced myself, and he had good English, and so he told me his story. He had been a pilot in the Iraqi Air Force, and he'd actually met his wife online in Iraq. And she was Kurdish, which is from the northern part. And so he moved to the Kurdish part of Iraq when they got married. And one day he got orders to bomb a village where there were civilians. And he refused. And from then on, he was in trouble. He could be jailed or even executed. And so he ended up fleeing Iraq with his family. He told me, he said, "I was a Muslim, but after what I've seen, I don't believe in God anymore." However, he came back on Wednesday to our Bible study night. And then he and the family came again Thursday for our coffee night. And we invited him to see the Jesus film. And I took him and his kids to another room, and we watched it together. And we had the Jesus film in Kurdish, which was their heart language. And so I just sat with them, the father and the two kids. The wife was home back sick. She didn't come that night. And they were transfixed as they watched the story of Jesus, probably for the first time they'd ever heard what was in that film, what's in the gospel. Well, they kept coming back for several weeks, and just before they got transferred, I learned that they had trusted Christ, the wife and the husband. And they are now attending a church in Salzburg, which is halfway across the country, where they got moved. But, you know, he began not believing in God. A lot of Muslims go that path. They get so disgusted with Islam, and they just decide that they don't believe at all. And then somewhere God gets their attention, and they come to Christ. Some of you might remember this woman on the left, the Iranian woman from last May. She had come to the Oasis, and she came regularly to church on Sundays, as well as everything we did at the Oasis, and said she was a believer. But one day she stood up in the Bible study group, which they have at the church, about 30 or 40 people after church every Sunday. There's a Farsi Bible study. And she said, "I have to tell you, I've been lying to you. I was pretending to be a Christian all this time. But now I really am. I really believe in Jesus, and I want to follow him." It wasn't long after that that we tearfully said goodbye to her because she got deported to France. And we were hoping we could find somebody in France, some church where she could plug in, and somebody that would help her, somebody that, well, she found a church. And this is it. She's helping lead worship in her church in France, Farsi-speaking church. And it's near Nice. And she, it's good when we get some feedback about what happens to people, you know, when they leave us. And this is one that we know what happens. And I think she's on Ruth's and my Facebook, and we get information from her every once in a while. She just has a little bit of English. Here's a picture of her church. See, the French flag and the Iranian flag are in the front. And this is actually a video, but it isn't working on our computer, so you won't get to see the video. Okay. I think Ruth has something to share, too, and I told her she had a short time because I don't want to run over.
So he said I could have 2 minutes. I want to thank those of you who helped Sue put together the crafts. They were so much appreciated. They add so much and take pressure off the missionaries. And Sue came over for 6 weeks and brought the suitcase that she had to pay $100 for and brought all those crafts, and they were highly valued. So thank you for those of you that did that. One night, I was in the Oasis, and we hadn't started yet. It was a low night, and so Bob and some of the people had gone out to invite people on the street with schedules of our week in several languages. And would they meet people from different countries and give them the paper of language that they're from. I was sitting by the door kind of waiting, and a young man walked in and sat down there, and I spoke to him. He spoke a little bit of English. I said, what country are you from? He said, Algeria. And then I noticed he had this folded up piece of paper, which was our schedule, in his hand. And I said, where did you get that? And he said, out in the street, these men. I said, oh, yeah, that was my husband. and so he says, what's this place all about anyway? And I said, well, we're Jesus followers. I don't say we're Christians because that brings a lot of different images that people do not understand. Same is sometimes true here. I said, we're Jesus followers, and we want to do things to help. And we help the refugees with clothes, and we help them with, we have German classes for them. We have a night where we have coffee and games. And if they want to see the Jesus film, they're very welcome to. And I went on and explained, we have a Bible study. And they said, we also have angels, Bibles in Farsi, New Testament in Farsi, in Arabic, sorry. And I said, would you like one? He says, so I took that as a probably yes, and he didn't want to say so too enthusiastically. So I went and found him an Arabic Gospel of Luke, which is what we often give the Muslims because it leads them to see who Jesus is in a way that's helpful. And he took it, and then he, Bob and the guys came back, and we started our time, and then he saw the Jesus film, and he was still, you know, interested, but every night he kept coming back. And every night he was asking more. And then one of our other guys, Christoph, which is an Austrian doctor, but has given up most of his doctoring to work with refugees. And he was so excited. He was talking to him. And so we see these seeds planted and God using different people. And who knows? Who knows? Because it's God's work. And it's been changing, life-changing for us. And we just, there's no words to really express it. So.
Yeah. Actually, that Algerian guy, I watched the Jesus film with him. We have it in 10 different dialects of Arabic. We had it in Algerian Arabic. And so he watched it in his own language, and I sat there with him, and he stopped it several times. He has to stop. I have a question. And we talked about what the film was about, and yeah. Okay. I want to switch to something from the Word of God and give us something to think about this morning that I think is so very important. And it follows so much on what Pastor Kevin preached last week about the body of Christ, about our love for one another and who we are in Christ. A couple of weeks ago, I met a young woman from Mexico, Sarah. And she told me that a year ago she was very lonely, that she had been here for months and didn't know anybody still, really. And then she made some Christian friends. And she felt accepted. She felt even part of a family. And she felt loved. And she told me, I want to be more like these people. I said to her, well, you know, Jesus said there are really two most important things. And number one is to love God. And number two is to love your neighbor. And your new friends are trying to do this. And she said, yes, but not many people really live that way. You know, our work with refugees has made something obvious to me. And that is how many people in the world have never encountered the kind of Christians that Sarah met. And that's Christians who have a love for God and for their neighbor is like a daily thing. We have the privilege in Austria of seeing Muslims come to Christ. And it's because our missionaries that we support, like Carol and like Ali and Marzi and the other ones who are there, they are practicing loving their neighbor. And they're living that kind of life. And I pray that we here will be living that kind of life, right? But what is the secret to living the kind of life where people see Jesus in you? Is there something we should be doing? I mean, it's foundational, it's vital that we are people who read our Bible and take in God's word regularly and that we pray to God every day and talk to him. But there's something else that Jesus talked about that we must be aware of that I believe is the key to the outflowing of the likeness of Jesus from our lives. In John 17:26, Jesus said these words. He said to his disciples, no, he was praying actually to God with his disciples present, and he said, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and I myself may be in them. What did Jesus say here? He is continually making God known to his followers. It was one reason why Jesus came, to make God known to all mankind. And what is the result of making God known? Two things, that God's love may be in them and that Jesus himself may be in them. Making God known, what are we talking about here? We need facts about God, don't we? What is God like? What does he want from us? And so on. And we learn from the Bible who God is and what he wants from us. We talk with Muslims all the time that have a very distorted view of God. And we give them a gospel to read and encourage them to read this and then to pray this prayer. God, who are you? Because they need to know truths about Jesus from the Word of God. But they also need to know God intimately. Knowing about God is a necessary step, but it's only one step on the way to knowing God himself. So when Jesus said he was making God known, the purpose was that his followers would come into a relationship with the God who created them, not merely be able to pass a theology exam. So knowing about God should lead us into wanting to know him. Like one Muslim guy who read the Gospel of Luke, and he came back and he said, I love Jesus. See, he didn't just learn some facts about Jesus, did he? He went that further step, which is the most important. And that relationship soon flowered, and he repented for going the wrong way and for doing the wrong things. And he said no to sin. And he said yes to God. And he said, please forgive me. Please come into my life. Please live in me. He became a follower. So I hope you've made that step this morning. You know, that you're not just in church to be here. Because you cannot just believe the Bible stuff, or all you have is a religion. You've got to seek God for yourself in his way and begin a relationship with Jesus who died for you. So I'm thinking that one reason why we believers in America and churches oftentimes do not reflect Christ the way we can and should is this relationship factor. Being a Christian is being in a relationship. But it's even deeper than that. I want us to go to John 17:20, where Jesus continues his prayer, and he says, my prayer is not for them alone. He's not just praying for the disciples that are standing there. But I pray for those who will believe in me through their message. And who is that? Us. Doesn't that blow you away? Jesus, 2,000 years ago, prayed for us sitting in this church this morning. And he said, I pray that they, all of them, may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to a complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What Jesus describes here is actually more than a relationship. You and Jesus. It's union with him. He is in us. There's a oneness between my soul and God, my soul and my Savior. It's deeper than relationship. You see what I mean? We talk about a couple getting married, and the two shall become one. And if you've been married a while, and you've been growing in your marriage, and you keep on, you grow closer and closer, and there's a oneness that happens, isn't there? And maybe that's the best comparison to what it's teaching us here. Jesus prayed, may they be in us, meaning the Father and the Son, Jesus, just as you are in me and I am in you. There's nothing closer than what he's talking about here. It's an astounding truth about the nature of our relationship with God through Jesus. So when you repent of your sin and you believe in Jesus, you're forgiven. Yes. And you are accepted by God. Yes. You are adopted as his child. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit of God himself comes to live in you. Yeah. And now, you are united with Christ. That's what Jesus says here. And you can look at yourself and say, I'm united with Christ. Me. I'm unworthy. I did not earn this. It's too good to be true. But this is who I am. This is my identity because I put my faith in that one who died for me, the one and only Savior, and he has done this in response because I believed. Apostle Paul puts it this way in Philippians. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is what life is, Christ, because we're in union with him. Now, because I am united with Christ, of course I love him. And I have his love for others. It's impossible not to. Who I am in Christ has a result in how I live. Doing is not first. Being is first. Being leads to doing. When I meditate on this reality that I am in union with Christ, that he is in me, I am in him, and he is love, what is going to happen? I love people, and people will see Jesus in me. Now, see, we can either think lies or we can think truth about ourselves. And we, all of us, think lies from time to time, sometimes a lot. And because we think those lies and believe those lies, Satan pulls us down. He keeps us from being the people that God intended us to be. At times I've been afraid of something or someone. You've all been there, haven't you? How do I think truth at those times, see? When I'm afraid, I'm thinking a lie. I'm thinking that God's not on the throne and that everything's not going to be okay. But everything is always going to be okay with God. We are his. If I die, it's better. Everything is in God's hand and I always have hope. But what do I do? How do I think truth at times I'm afraid? Well, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I go to that verse and I think, am I God's? Did Jesus save me and forgive me? Yes. Is he in me? Yes. So God, has God given me a spirit of fear? No. What did he give me? Power. Power to get through this. Love. Not to hate, to love even my enemy, and a sound mind, not to fire my mind to go off, you know, the deep end into all different directions of speculating and thinking about all the things that could happen. And have you ever done that? Yeah, you've done that. We can be so stupid sometimes. So a sound mind, that's what God gives. And that means I think rationally, and I base all of my thinking on the reality that God is sovereign, and in Christ, I belong to him. Somebody put it, I'm safe in the Lamb. So I can face fear. I can face temptation. I'm tempted to do a certain sin, but I'm united with Christ. And so that is not who I am. Now that's good thinking. You think about that when you're tempted. Who are you in Christ? It takes away the pull of that temptation. It just, all of a sudden, things are different. So the reality is that when Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are safe and in a place of union with Christ. And this is the reality. I want us all to take a moment. I want you to reflect on your union with Christ. Just do it right now. I'm going to take a minute or so. I want you to think about Jesus is in me. I not only have a relationship with him, but there's even more. We are joined. Just give us a few seconds to think about this. What happened just then? Where did your thoughts go? Tell me. Anybody? What? Word in season. Word in season? Okay. Yeah, Dave. Yeah. Yes, yes. Someone else? Okay. Chris? Yeah. We have these pictures. Family, that's something close. I am the vine, you are the branches. That's a real union picture, isn't it? When I think about this teaching, and that I believe this is reality, see? I don't believe this is just an idea out there. Maybe it's a reality that we have a union with Christ. And I'm humbled. I also feel secure. I desire to be more like Jesus. I feel his strength inside, yeah? But listen, our union with Christ extends even in another direction. We've kind of referred to it. In 1 Corinthians 12, as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink. And this whole chapter is about us and the fact that we are in union with Christ, and we also have a union with each other, a spiritual union. You can't see it, but you can know it and experience it. And the amazing thing to me is to go all over the world. Well, I haven't been all over the world. But to meet people from all over the world and bit different backgrounds, and that person who loves Jesus is a brother or a sister. Instantly, you know it. We are one. We are part of a body that belongs to Jesus Christ and have a oneness because the Holy Spirit dwells in all of us. We're connected. This is the reality. Now, we may not always live that way, you know. You might be irritated at that other church member, you know, who says something or does stuff that bothers you. You know, yeah, we're human. That's probably going to happen. But if you're both believers in the Lord Jesus, you want to follow him, there's a oneness there underneath all of that. You need to find it. Now, be reconciled if you have to. Do whatever you need to do to live out that oneness in the body of Christ. So being united with Christ doesn't mean we're always going to live as if that's true. We don't always live it out. And that's really because we don't always believe God. It's the lack of believing God about this truth that holds us back. Now, the reality of our union with Christ can be drowned out by so many distractions, right? Life, all of life is a big distraction from what really matters. Other voices from others are often lies we whisper to ourselves. Condemnation, hopelessness, pride. So we must keep learning to believe God. Of course, this is why we hear sermons. This is why we should read our Bibles. We take in, like Dave said, you know, what we feed ourselves. In Romans 12, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the reality is we are one with each other and one with God and Jesus in some way that I can't quite explain or understand. But we are united in union with him, and we need minds that are constantly aware of that. That's a goal, and we're never going to achieve it perfectly until heaven, are we? But that's how others will see Jesus in us. And we will look at the whole world differently when our first thought is, I'm part of Christ, and he is in me. That's who I am. You will not look at the world the same way, or look at other people the same way, or look at problems the same way. So let your thoughts keep coming back to this place. Christ is in me. If you're not a believer yet, you can be. I'd be glad to talk with you, or Pastor Kevin would be glad to talk with you and help you understand what you need to do, but let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you praise and glory and honor because you have reached out to us who are unworthy. And by your grace and your sacrifice, you've declared we are worthy. And somehow you can live in us. And so, Father, through us, do your work. Love this world. May your glory be known through us. Help us to be firmly rooted in who we are in Christ each day. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, if you have questions about our experiences, we could talk for hours and be glad to even get together for coffee or anything like that. Ruth and I would love to share more. But thank you for those who have prayed for us and have given also to help us with the expense of going, and God bless you. We're dismissed. Except maybe we have an announcement, important announcement. Oh, one thing.